Good morning. Our text this morning is going to be in Numbers 16, but before we go there, open with me to 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13, I'm going to start reading in verse 4, and I'm going to replace the word charity with the word love. That's what the word charity means. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. As we read, I hope you noticed how active love is. Love is displayed. It is working, and it is producing results. Bear this in mind as we turn to our text in Numbers 16. In Numbers 16, we have an account of a rebellious and unthankful people, an offended God, and a high priest with an atonement. And the focus of the study this morning will be concentrated on the activity of Aaron the high priest. The title this morning is The High Priest Love. Number 16 records for us the events that transpired in 3 days while Israel was in the wilderness. And those who study such things and the history of such things believe that these events occurred about 20 years after the Lord, due to the unbelief of the people, judged Israel that they would not enter the land of Canaan for 40 years. At the opening of the chapter, we are presented with three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These three men were influential members of Israel who rose up in a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. They had two purposes in their rebellion. Korah was rebellious against Aaron being the only high priest. Dathan and Abiram rose in a rebellion against God appointing Moses to lead Israel. And they led many astray with them in their rebellion. The challenge that Korah and his followers levied against Moses was that he had appointed Aaron to be the only high priest to minister in the tabernacle. Korah's argument was that all of Israel were accounted holy before the Lord as his people, and so they should be able to enter in and offer sacrifice as they liked. Dathan and Abiram's challenge was directed at Moses leading the people. Moses was of the house of Levi, while Dathan and Abiram were of the house of Reuben, Jacob's eldest son. And by tradition, the house of Reuben should be the leader of the people. Both of these accusations said that Moses took the honor and the glory to himself, and he had no right to. That's what their argument was. These men and their followers represent every one of us, every child of Adam in our natural condition. Adam, when he rebelled, said, "I will not have God to reign over me." But God in mercy provided the way for men to be accepted with God, the way of the priest, the high priest, offering a sacrifice to cover our sin. And we reject that way. We want and demand to come to God in our own way, with our own merits. Just as Cain brought unto the Lord the labor of his hands, that's the way we desire to come. Without a priest to intercede, without a sacrifice, without blood, and without an atonement. Our hearts are blackened and dead so that we cannot see that in doing so we deny the holy, righteous, living God who will by no means clear the guilty. Now Moses did not confront these men and their folly directly. But as soon as he heard their challenge, verse 4 says, he fell upon his face. Moses sought the Lord's guidance and direction before he answered. And when he answered, he basically said, the Lord will reveal who he has anointed and who he will accept. Moses then gave direction to Korah and those who followed him, being 250 strong, together with Aaron and himself the next day before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with their censers, fire, and incense. He also reminded Korah of the honor that was bestowed upon his house to bear the holy things of the tabernacle. And he pointed out that this challenge was not simply against Aaron, but was against the Lord. In verse 11, he says, speaking to Korah, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? Korah found this acceptable, and he agreed to Moses' word. I found it interesting in reading this that Moses didn't call all the congregation of Israel together to the temple that next morning. It was Korah that brought these men. Love covereth multitude of evils. And Moses wasn't willing to make Korah a public example. But it was Korah, lifted in pride and arrogance, feeling assured that he was correct in challenging Moses and Aaron, that he gathered all the congregation to come and watch, as Moses and Aaron, he was certain, would be disgraced. As Korah led the congregation against Moses, look in verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. But look how quickly these men interceded on behalf of the people. Verse 22. And they, Moses and Aaron, fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? How often do we find Moses interceding on the behalf of Israel over and over again throughout their journey? Every time they murmured against the Lord, we find Moses interceding on their behalf. And once again, God heard his prayer and acted in mercy towards Israel again. In verse 23 and 24, the Lord sent his messenger to warn the people. Verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And in grace, God led the people to hear the warning of Moses, and they departed from Dathan and Abiram. Korah wasn't interested in leading the people. He wanted the honor of the priesthood for himself. So he had stayed behind with Aaron at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. After the people separated themselves from Dathan and Abiram, Moses let it be known how the Lord would show that he was his appointed messenger and the anointed of God, that the men with Dathan and Abiram would be swallowed by the earth. Immediately after Moses gave this word, the Lord did just that, and the earth swallowed Dathan, Abiram, their families, their goods, everything pertaining to them was swallowed by the earth. The people of Israel ran from the scene, fearing that the same punishment would fall upon them. And at the same time, fire came from the Lord and consumed the 250 men standing with their censers of incense, leaving Aaron, the high priest, alone. One would think that after seeing such judgment fall quickly, that all thought of rebellion would be set aside, at least for a little while. But sin is what we are. Sin is our nature. Rebellion is all we know. And the very next morning, verse 41 says, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'Ye have killed the people of the Lord.'" The people have moved on from the rebellion of the day before, which was to unseat Moses and Aaron. They just wanted their position. This morning, they're out for blood. Now they accuse them of murdering the people of the Lord. As Cain, who was angry at God for not accepting his sacrifice, could not lash out at God himself, turned upon his brother and murdered him, so these people, knowing that Moses didn't have the power to have the earth open and consume their brethren, turn upon him. They can't touch the God that did this, but they can touch his messenger, his anointed. But the Lord did not forsake his anointed men. Verse 42 says, "And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle and the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. While they were there, the Lord commanded them again to separate themselves from the congregation, that they be not consumed with them." And now, I hope we will see the glory, the mercy, and the love of our great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Before Adam rose in rebellion, before I uttered out my first cry of murmuring against him, my Lord stood as my high priest. Using Aaron here as the type of our Lord that he is, may we learn more of him who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's read Numbers 16, 46 through 50 together. "And Moses said unto Aaron, 'Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun.' And Aaron took, as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. beside them that died about the manner of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. I want to call out five things from these verses of Scripture to our attention. First, the love of the high priest to his people. The preparation of the high priest. The atonement made. The results of the atonement. And finally, the last state of the high priest. First, look at the love Aaron showed towards the people. Verse 47 says, Aaron ran into the midst of the congregation. At this point, Aaron is probably over 100 years old. When they left Egypt, I think Aaron was about 83. Moses was about 80. So he's likely 100 plus at this point. He has been journeying with these people for a long time, and he has witnessed them time and again murmur against Moses and against himself. And just this morning, they came wanting his blood. All the same, he didn't delay in going out to them to intercede on their behalf, but he ran into their midst. The just condemnation of God is upon them. He himself has nothing to fear while he's in the tabernacle with Moses. He's no reason to leave there. If he departs, he may well be identified with them, and the plague, the wrath, may fall upon him. Still, he goes out quickly, for the matter is urgent. Our Lord saw us in our fallen estate, dead in trespasses and sins, separated from God. The wrath of God abiding justly upon us for the sins that we have committed against him. Yet in love, first for his Father, then for those to whom the Father gave him, he ran, as it were, to our aid. Having no sin of his own, he had no reason to fear, no reason to dread God's wrath upon him. But knowing that if intercession were not made, there could be no peace between God and men. Everything that follows, all the rest of the acts that the high priest did on this day for the people, would be meaningless if it wasn't for his love that he had for those people. Because of his love for his people, the high priest made his preparation. Out of love, he made the atonement. Had Aaron not loved these people, he would not have been willing to run into their midst. And had Christ not loved us, we would have perished in our sin. We've seen the love of Aaron, the high priest. Now we see his preparation. Verse 46. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Aaron didn't leave the tabernacle empty-handed. He dare not intercede on behalf of the people with his own merits or his own righteousness, even though he were a high priest. This very Aaron had made a golden calf for the people to worship not that long ago after they left Egypt. Aaron came not in his own righteousness, but he came the way the Lord had commanded, with a censer of fire from off the altar. He came with a sacrifice. Christ Jesus, our high priest, also came prepared for interceding on our behalf. Hebrews 10:5 says, "A body hast thou prepared me." A body was prepared for him that he might identify with us, that he might know our frame and the infirmities of our flesh. He came as the God-man. As God, he is able to satisfy his own law and to keep it perfectly. As man, he can pay the sin debt of death that we owe. Aaron the high priest loved the people and he ran to their aid and he came prepared to intercede. And he made an atonement for the people. I don't know, my mind can't, I don't know if any of us can imagine what it was that Aaron was running into. 14,700 people died this very morning. Hold your place here and turn with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. The psalm doesn't declare who penned it, but could it be that the events of this day were on the writer's mind? Psalm 91. We'll begin reading in verse 5. Psalm 91:5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Back in Numbers, Aaron ran into the midst of death and put on incense and made an atonement for the people. As heinous a scene as we can imagine Aaron running into. It pales in comparison to the scene our Lord came into. He who is life came and dwelt with death. While Aaron carried the censer far from the altar and burned incense, our great high priest was led to Calvary's tree, where he was hung upon that tree, shedding his precious blood and making an everlasting atonement. What were the results of this atonement that was made? Verse 48. And he, Aaron the high priest, stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Aaron, with the burning incense, stands between the dead and the living. What about that atonement stopped this plague? The incense that Aaron offered pointed to the coming of our Lord and his shed blood. That's what made Aaron's atonement effectual to stop the plague. Those who remained alive, were they not as guilty as those who died? Yes, they were. The difference was the atonement was between them and the plague. Consider these questions as I answer them for myself. Am I guilty of sinning against God? Have I murmured against His anointed? Have I murmured against His providence? To my great shame, I have to say yes to all those. And even greater shame than that, after the Lord has been merciful to me and revealed Christ in me, I still do the same thing. One more question. Just in case I might have any trust to place on not having broken His law, just in case I believe, as Paul once did, that I stand perfect before His law, have I, whether awake, asleep, from conception to this very moment, kept in word, thought, and deed the great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind? No. Not a single moment in all my life have I done this of my own accord. Therefore, in breaking one commandment, I justly deserve God's wrath. But I have hope. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, bearing our sin upon that tree, shedding His blood for our sin. He has made atonement for His called elect sinners, those given to Him by the Father before the foundation of the world. When the accuser of the brethren stands and declares all that I have done against God, Christ stands and points to His wounds and says, those sins are covered by my atonement. To condemn that sinner that Christ has died for would require the justice and holiness of God to trample underfoot the atonement of Christ. And that can never happen. Finally, what is the last state of this loving, prepared high priest who made atonement for the people and stopped the plague? Verse 50. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Having provided the atonement for their sin, Aaron returned to the tabernacle with Moses. Our high priest, after he had shed his blood, was buried, and on the third day he rose again to ascend back to his Father, where he ever lives, as our high priest, making intercession for us. To close, I want to turn to two passages of Scripture. First, let's open to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8. And we have a high priest who loves us, even in our unlovable and hateful state. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And then, our high priest offered His own blood, an everlasting atonement which atones eternally. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Those that were spared the wrath of God on that day by Aaron's atonement, faced another day when another atonement had to be made for them. But Christ, our great high priest, has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now skip over to verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Thank God we have a loving high priest. Amen.